Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit today, or literature, if you're speaking British English. I think I like the British pronunciation better because it's only three syllables, whereas the American pronunciation is four. Literature versus literature.
Literature.
Right, I like it that way. It's
literature.
It sounds more intellectual that way.
I love their accent.
And if you are talking about books, of course, you do want to sound like an intellectual or a very smart person, but maybe not so much for this book because the book we're going to be talking about today is for young readers or teenage readers. And the title of the book is The Fault in Our Stars. Okay, this is a book that was made into a movie, and I believe we went to see this with my wife and daughter.
Oh, you saw it, huh?
About 4 years ago or so. And so
2014, yeah.
Something like that. And this, of course, inspired my daughter to read the book.
Good.
She was able to actually find this book for sale in a bookstore here in Taipei. Maybe it was Caves or S-Lite. I'm not sure. Mm. They probably still have it. Or you can, of course, order it online or get an electronic version of this book if you'd like to read it. But yes, we would recommend it to our listeners out there because, you know, our program is for young readers or new students to the English language. So you might actually enjoy this book very well. Now, the title is Life, Love, and Illness in The Fault in Our Stars. If you did see this movie, you'll know it is quite sad. It's a tearjerker. It's all about young people getting cancer and fighting the disease and finding romance and things like that. Ooh, it's the kind of book that will drain out a box of tissues in 5 seconds flat.
Tom's right. It's kind of it's a sad romance, but it's pretty wonderful. Well, we're going to be talking about the novel itself, and as we always do, on day one, we're going to focus in on the plot or the story, and then in day two, we'll talk about the author, John Green, and in day three, we'll be talking about some of the themes and messages that we think perhaps the author wanted to communicate to his readers. But first, we're going to read through day one.
Hazel Grace Lancaster is a 16-year-old girl from Indianapolis, U.S. She has been battling thyroid cancer for 3 years. It has begun to affect her lungs, so she needs to use a special breathing machine. At her mother's urging, Hazel attends a support group for cancer patients. There she meets Augustus Gus Waters, a 17-year-old boy who lost his leg to cancer and now uses a prosthetic one. The two immediately have a romantic connection, but Hazel is hesitant to start a relationship because her health could worsen at any time. Hazel introduces Gus to her favorite book, An Imperial Affliction, which is about a young girl with cancer. They're both dissatisfied with the book's unresolved ending, and their letters to the author go unanswered. Gus arranges to use the wish he is granted by a Children's Cancer Foundation for them to travel to Amsterdam to meet the reclusive writer Peter Van Houten. Unfortunately, they find out Van Houten is a drunk who is rude and dismissive in person. During the trip, Gus reveals that his cancer has gotten much worse. He and Hazel return home, and she remains supportive of him as his health deteriorates. In time, Gus passes away. Surprisingly, Van Houten attends Gus's funeral and apologizes to Hazel. She realizes the girl from An Imperial Affliction was based on his daughter, who had died of cancer. Hazel copes with Gus's death thanks to her family's comfort and strength. She also reads a letter Gus has sent Van Houten before he died. In it, Gus says he is lucky to have grown so close to Hazel, is happy with his choices, and hopes Hazel is too.
Okay, guys, let's dig right into our story here. It's our plot. We've got a 16-year-old girl from the city of Indianapolis. Indianapolis. It's got part of this city's name includes the state of Indiana So Indianapolis is in the U.S. Indianapolis is in Indiana, I think. It's kind of in the middle part of the U.S., which is where Tom is from. Iowa is his state. So she's been battling or fighting thyroid cancer for 3 years. Typically, kids don't get this cancer. It's kind of interesting. Your thyroid is close to your, if you're a guy, you have that Adam's apple, that big kind of lump in your throat when you swallow. That's the Adam's apple. It's found in your throat, and it controls your body metabolism. So typically, if you're having thyroid issues, you're either too skinny or too fat. Your thyroid controls how fast you metabolize or burn food. But she's been battling thyroid cancer for 3 years, which is quite a long time, really.
Yeah, I think thyroid is jia zhuang xian in Chinese. And this cancer here is not often seen in young people, but she's had it for 3 years, and it has begun to affect her lungs, so she needs to use a special breathing machine. So, yes, this cancer is starting to affect her breathing, her lungs, so she needs a special machine to help her breathe. And I guess she can still get around. She can carry it with her.
It's mobile.
Yeah, at least she did so in the movie. And at her mother's urging, Hazel attends a support group for cancer patients. So her mother encourages her, you know, you should get together with other kids who have the same problem as you, and you guys can talk about it and you can feel better. Maybe you can come up with some suggestions on how to get healthier or something like that or whatever. And I guess she doesn't really want to go, but there she meets Augustus Gus Waters, who is a 17-year-old boy who lost his leg to cancer and now uses a prosthetic one. So she goes to the support group and talks to some other kids there, and she meets a 17-year-old boy, Gus, and his problem is that he lost his leg because of cancer. But he's got an artificial leg now. If you have an artificial limb, like an artificial leg or an artificial arm, we say that is a prosthetic arm, a prosthetic leg. Basically, it's an artificial arm, an artificial leg, maybe made from wood, maybe made from titanium or whatever. Maybe it's even 3D printed nowadays.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different kinds of prosthetic limbs that people then replace their original limb with, so they can get around or maybe use their hand or arm again. Notice here his full name is Augustus. That's his first name. But as many Americans, at least, he goes by his nickname, or the shortened version of his name is Gus, which is kind of a fun name, Gus. Gus Waters. He's kind of young, and he's already lost his leg to cancer. If I had to guess, because I don't know, I would say he probably had bone cancer if he lost his leg, but I'm not sure. Now, the two, the girl and the guy, they immediately, wow, so fast, have a romantic connection. If you have a connection with somebody, it means you're linked or associated with somebody. Sometimes if we have a romantic connection, that means we share the same viewpoints. We share similar hobbies. Maybe our backgrounds are similar. You just feel like you can really relate to that person. We'll often say, wow, he really understands me, or she really understands me. We have a great connection. So they do have a romantic connection. But Hazel is hesitant to start a relationship, probably because she feels she doesn't have long to live. She doesn't know if her health could get worse at any time, you know. So she doesn't want for him to feel sad if she passes away. I understand that. So if you're hesitant, you are unsure of something, maybe you're slow in taking action or speaking, you hesitate is the verb form. Hesitant is the adjective form of that verb. To hesitate, the noun form is hesitation.
And to hesitate, of course, is the verb. And sometimes, of course, if you're hesitant about something, you may regret it later. Like when I go back to visit my folks in Iowa every year and I go buy things, sometimes I think, oh, well, I guess I don't really want to buy that. I don't want to spend the money. I'm very hesitant. But then I realize after I get back to Taiwan, oh, I should have bought that.
Oh,
why did I not buy that? Hard. Because now I got to wait another year before I have another chance to buy that thing. I shouldn't have been so hesitant. I should have just done it right there. And here, yes, she's hesitant to start a relationship. She doesn't want to. She's reluctant to start a relationship because, why get emotionally connected to somebody when you're going to have to say goodbye pretty soon? Let's just not get emotionally connected right now. And plus, it might not be good for our relationship. But on the other hand, hey, maybe you should try to live a little before you pass on to the next life. I guess that would be a very difficult decision if you were in that sort of situation. Well, I think this is a good time to take a break, but to stay tuned, we'll be right back. Let's listen now to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 欢迎收听 English Digest. 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 11文学单元的第一天课程。这课所要介绍的小说叫做The Fault in Our Stars, 中文名称是《生命中的美好缺憾》。这部小说在2014年也被翻拍成同名电影。首先我们看到 fault 这个字， fault 是名词，有过错的意思。如果我们说 It is somebody's fault that 加主词加动词，就是说某件事是某人的错。例如 It was not my fault that we didn't arrive at the airport in time.我们没有及时抵达机场，不是我的错。片语 find faults with somebody or something 就是指找什么的缺点或是挑什么的错。例如 Alan doesn't like me, so he finds fault with everything I do. 艾伦不喜欢我，所以他对我做的每件事挑错。另外 fault 的形容词是 faulty, F-A-U-L-T-Y, 意思是有瑕疵的，有缺陷的。例如 Consumers who buy goods at this shop are entitled to a refund if the items are faulty. 如果商品有瑕疵，在这家店购物的消费者有权要求退款。文章的第一段提到小说中的女主角 Hazel Grace Lancaster 患有癌症。我们看到这一段的第二句 She has been battling thyroid cancer for 3 years. 她已经与甲状腺癌抗战3年。本句用了现在完成进行式 have, has, 加 been, 加 ving, 现在完成式则是 have, has, 加 vpp, 现在完成式和现在完成进行式皆可用来表示从过去某一时间点之前一直持续到现在的动作。但若要强调这个动作还会持续下去的话，则是会用现在完成进行式。例如 My brother has watched this TV show. 这句话用现在完成式表示到目前为止我弟弟都在看这个电视节目，但会不会继续看下去不确定。但如果改成现在完成进行式 My brother has been watching this TV show for 30 minutes. 这就表示我弟弟还会继续看电视。另外要注意的是 have has 加 been 加 VPP 是现在完成式的被动语态，表示已经被的意思。例如 I have been taught English by Mark for 2 years. 我已经被马克教2年英文了。Hazel 遇到同样患有癌症的一名男孩 Gus， 两人之间产生了浪漫情愫。我们看到第一段最后一句的后半部分。But Hazel is hesitant to start a relationship because her health could worsen at any time. 但海瑟因自己的健康随时会恶化，而对于开始一段关系犹豫不决。形容词 hesitant 的意思是犹豫的、迟疑的。 Be hesitant to do something 或 be hesitant about doing something 就是指对于做某件事感到迟疑。例如 I'm hesitant to tell Jason the truth because he might get angry. 我犹豫该不该对杰森说出实情，因为他可能会生气。另外这句有一个动词 worsen， 有恶化的意思，就相当于第三段第二句的动词 deteriorate。 例如 If you don't deal with this crisis immediately, it will only worsen。 如果你不立即处理这个危机，它只会变得更糟。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about the plot of the book, The Fault in Our Stars.Oh, we didn't talk about the title of the book, The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah, so, weird title, huh?
Yeah, when you talk about your stars, it just is your fortune, your path in life. A lot of people believe in astrology, which is the study of stars and how it affects your life and your path in life. Maybe you've gone to have your palm read or your fortune told. The fault, the problem, the thing that's making our path not good. So the fault in our stars. They just weren't blessed with a lot of luck, these two folks. So they're pretty young and they've already been struck by cancer. They've suffered quite a while with the cancer itself. But most people who go through difficult experiences, they end up becoming stronger people. It strengthens their character. I'm sure these people are a lot more mature than most high school students their age.
Probably they are. And I did also want to mention that this is not uncommon. There are young people who unfortunately are sick all around us.
Totally.
Maybe people right in your classroom right now are suffering from something. So, yeah, try to be a little sensitive about that. Mm-hmm. There are people out there who are suffering very much, or they have to spend their entire life in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's get going here with the next paragraph here. We're summarizing the plot here and where we left off. Hazel and Gus just met, but Hazel is kind of hesitant to start a relationship. Now, Hazel introduces Gus to her favorite book,An Imperial Affliction, which is about a young girl with cancer. I believe this is a book that's only inside this book. There's no real book with this title, but that's her favorite book, and she introduces Gus to that book. Hey, Gus, you ought to read this book. Have you ever read An Imperial Affliction? No. What's it about? Well, I'll tell you, blah, 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 blah. So she recommends the book to Gus, and again, this book is very much like her. It's about a young girl who has cancer.
So they're both dissatisfied, though, with this book's unresolved ending. If you're dissatisfied, you're unhappy with something. And we call the book's ending unresolved because it doesn't give you a final conclusion. Actually, there are a lot of books like that, or a lot of movies that end like that. And you're like, well...Tell us what happened. But a lot of times this is done on purpose to get you thinking and let you kind of make up your own ending in your mind. So if something's unresolved, it's not concluded. It doesn't have a conclusion. Maybe you've had an argument with a good friend. So far that argument or, disagreement has been unresolved. You haven't, concluded that argument and become friends again. You're still fighting about something.Well, what they did is they thought, well, since the book doesn't have an ending, let's write to the author and see if he'll answer our questions. So they wrote to the author, whose name was Van Houten, and he doesn't answer them. It says here, their letters to the author go unanswered, meaning he didn't write them back. He may have read their letters, but he ignored them.
Okay, so they aren't getting anywhere there. And Gus arranges to use the wish he is granted by a Children's Cancer Foundation for them to travel to Amsterdam to meet the reclusive writer Peter Van Houten. So he gets something called a wish. That probably is a sum of money or something. I don't know. I haven't read the book. But I did see the movie, but I don't remember what that was about.
I think they're referring to the organization that's a charity organization that it's called Make-A-Wish. And
okay.
if you're diagnosed with a disease where they think you won't make it, So there's no cure. You can apply to have your wish granted. So sometimes kids all wish to go to Disneyland for the first time, or they might have a wish to meet a famous movie star. So they'll contact that star and see if he'll come to a hospital to visit a kid. So it's called Make-A-Wish. That's what they're referring to.
Okay, I guess I've heard of that. And this is a Children's Cancer Foundation. They raise money so that these people can have a wish before they pass away. So he's granted this wish. If you're granted something, that means you're given that thing as a special kind of gift or something like that, or you have special permission for that. And this is an organization or a foundation. Usually a foundation is a kind of organization that is non-profit, and they're just trying to help out people.
It's a charity.
A charity, indeed. So they arrange for the couple here, Hazel and Gus, to travel to Amsterdam to meet this reclusive writer. We're describing him as being reclusive, which means he kind of spends his time all by himself. He does not grant interviews. People don't really see him very much. He just doesn't want to have anything to do with other people. He's reclusive.
Or we could just call him the noun version of this word, which is a recluse. Oh, he's a recluse. Or another word we'll sometimes use for people who are not social at all. They don't want to be around other people. We call them a hermit because they kind of hide away from people. Well, he is a recluse. He doesn't want to have social, occasions with other people. He probably keeps to himself. Unfortunately, they travel there and they find out Van Houten, he's a drunk. So he's an alcoholic, we could say. A drunk is a more slang version of that word, alcoholic. And who's addicted to alcohol, needs alcohol. And this person's rude and dismissive in person. So we know what rude is, someone who has no manners. But if you're dismissive of other people, you show that you don't care about other people's feelings. You don't think they're worthy of your attention. And you, kambutibieren is kind of what we think, but kind of looks down on other people. He doesn't feel that other people deserve his time.
That's right. And that's how he is when you see him face to face in person. Now, during the trip to Amsterdam, Gus reveals that his cancer has gotten much worse. So he tells Hazel that, unfortunately, my cancer has gotten worse. I'm probably not going to be around for too much longer. And he and Hazel return home, and she remains supportive of him as his health deteriorates. So I guess you could say their trip to Amsterdam was not successful.
No.
Kind of surprising because the Dutch are usually pretty cool people.
Yeah.
But this guy turned out to be a jerk. I guess you can find jerks anywhere in the world.
But he might be a jerk because he's a drunk.
Could be, yes. They do drink a lot of alcohol in Europe there. But she's still supportive of Gus. Supportive means you support someone. You help them out as much as you can. You provide encouragement or emotional support and stuff like that. And his health is deteriorating. To deteriorate means to just simply get worse and worse.
Get worse and worse over time. You could also say his health worsens. Deteriorates is a great word, though. Like Tom says, you get worse and worse as time passes by. You don't get better. So in time, Gus passes away. He dies. And surprisingly, this is very surprising, actually, Van Houten attends Gus's funeral. And that's where he apologizes to Hazel. So a funeral is that ceremony or ritual people have when people die. Usually at a funeral, people stand up and talk about that person's life. And then they are buried thereafter. So he does show up at the funeral and it kind of shocks Hazel because he was so rude to them when they went to see him in Amsterdam. She realizes at that point that the girl from that book they liked called The Imperial Affliction was actually based on his daughter. So Van Houten had a lot of tragedy in his own life. His young daughter passed away from cancer. So this might be why he's an alcoholic or a drunk at this point. And Hazel copes with Gus's death thanks to her family's comfort and strength. So when someone passes away that's close to you, it's very hard for you and you need a lot of support. If you cope with something, it means you're handling something that's difficult. It's not easy. Maybe you have a hard boss. The boss is really mean. But in order to cope with that boss, you become very close friends with your coworkers and your support of each other. That's a way to cope with something that's difficult at work.You know, rely on your coworkers that you find at work that you can relate to.
And so, she copes with the death there thanks to her family's comfort and strength and support. I believe the mother was played by Laura Dern in the movie.
She's great, yeah.
So, yes, thanks to or because of her family's comfort, their support, and their strength, she also reads a letter Gus had sent Van Houten before he died. Gus actually wrote a letter to him. And in the letter, Gus says he is lucky to have grown so close to Hazel.Is happy with his choices and hopes Hazel is too. So I guess it kind of has a happy ending there, but I guess this book is actually quite sad, and the movie is what we call a tearjerker.
Yeah.
And maybe you saw it a couple years ago in theaters in Taiwan. You can certainly rent it at a video store if they're still around.
Or it's probably streaming on Netflix or something like that.
People watch movies online mostly nowadays. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
文章的第二段提到 Hazel 和 Gus 两人读了一本关于一位女孩罹患了癌症的小说。我们看到这一段第二句的前半部分 They are both dissatisfied with the book's unresolved ending. 他们都对这本书悬而未决的结局感到不满意。形容词 dissatisfied 是指感到不满意的。反义词是 satisfied, S-A-T-I-S-F-I-E-D, 片语。Be dissatisfied 或是 be satisfied with something 就是指对某事感到不满意或满意。例如 Mary is quite satisfied with her new haircut. 玛丽对她的新发型感到相当满意。Gus 最后还是不敌癌症而过世。我们看到最后一段的倒数第三句。Hazel copes with Gus's death thanks to her family's comfort and strength.幸亏有家人给予的安慰和力量，海瑟才得以面对古斯的逝世。片语 cope with something 有处理、解决的意思，相当于 deal with, handle, H-A-N-D-L-E, tackle, T-A-C-K-L-E, address, A-D-D-R-E-S-S. 例如 Matt didn't know how to deal with the tricky problem, so he asked his parents for advice.麦特不晓得该如何处理这个棘手的问题，所以他向父母寻求建议。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That is it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time when we continue to talk about the fault in our stars. Please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.